If you get your Bibles this morning, if you will, open to the book of Luke chapter 8. If you need a Bible, there's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one to study with us this morning. Luke chapter 8, and I'll draw your attention this morning down to verse 22. Begin reading here, verse 22. It says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day, when he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. They came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he rose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there was met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. And when they had fed them, or when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to the sea, what was done, and came to Jesus, and found a man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them, By what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went out up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. May we again pray. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this morning, Lord, we continue to praise you for all that you do for us, all that you teach us through your word, how it is designed to draw us closer unto you, to be a greater servant unto you, and go forth and to win this lost world unto your saving grace. Lord, I pray that you be with our hearts this morning. I pray if there's one that's listening to this message has never trusted in your Son Jesus as Savior, Lord, I pray that you'll have a victory in their lives today, and that Satan will not have that victory. Lord, for we who are saved, Lord, I pray that we'll have a greater understanding of this satanic world that resides around us, that we'll understand greater the influence. And Lord, it will be something that will drive us to putting on your armor to walk day by day so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I pray you guide and direct my words, for it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. When was the last time that you read this passage of Scripture? And when you did you consider that when you read over this passage, the magnitude of Jesus' power that was being revealed, not only over nature, but also over the demonic world? You know, too often Jesus has only looked at upon his humanity. He was a good man, a good prophet, a good teacher. But oftentimes and many times what's overlooked is his deity as the Son of God and the power that he has as being the Son of God. But when you search through the Scriptures and you see that Jesus truly is the Son of God, that he is the, and you start to see and understand he has the power to not only heal the sick, to raise people from the dead, to calm the sea, to calm the hurting spirit, but most of all, He can save the sin-sick condition, the condemned condition of an individual when they place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And He is the only one who can save us from our sin. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And then we're promised in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We're also promised in John chapter 1 and verse 12, "The Lord stated, but as many as received Him, Jesus Himself, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And then again, to further iterate the fact of this power of changing us from being in a lost state to being in a saved state, to from being in a condemned state to being in an uncondemned state, John tells us in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." This morning, as we study this text, we're going to look at Jesus' power over nature and also His power over demons. And my prayer this morning is, again, if you've never trusted in Jesus as your personal Savior, that you will embrace Him today as the only one who can save you, but will save you if you trust in Him and Him alone. If we are children of God, I pray that through this study this morning, that it will increase our resolve to stand firm in His power and in His grace. As we're reading in the first few verses of our text this morning, verses 22 to 25, we read there that Jesus had got into a ship with His disciples and wanted to go to the other side of the lake. Now, part of the reason for this is that He needed some time away from the multitudes. If you go back and read in the prior passages of Scripture, Jesus was, in His humanity, He was very taxed. There were people all around Him, and every time that He came to a place, that He was doing a lot of healing, a lot of teaching, a lot of preaching, and in His humanity, He got tired. He needed time to get away, a time to have a little repose, a time to get a little sleep. Again, because of His humanity, He was fully man, fully flesh, fully blood, and again, His work here on earth was very exhaustive. Not only did He look at the multitudes, He had compassion on them, but He also had a responsibility that was placed upon Him, was to train His disciples, to train His church, because He would be giving the kingdom keys over to His church, that when He went back, He said, "Here is my commission unto you. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to do what? Observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." That was His commission that He gave His church upon His ascending back unto the Father. So we find here is that it says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that they went into a ship with His disciples, and He said unto them, let us go over into the other side of the lake, and they launched forth." You know, if they had traveled around, it wasn't very few miles just to get around the lake to where they needed to go, but He needed, again, a time of repose. But as they sailed, He fell asleep. And in fact, when you go and read in the companion scriptures, it says, and I'm talking about the other gospels, you'll find is that He was on a pillow, He was in the hinder part of the ship, and He was sleeping away. And also I find here is this, is that we find is that in, again, is that He had a great respect for His disciples. Peter, James, and John especially. Now, why would that be? These were notable shipmen. Their trade craft was fishing. They understood ships. They understood small boats, large boats. They understood that. If someone has that knowledge, why wouldn't you give that? Why wouldn't you rest in the fact is that they can get you from one side of the lake to the other side of the lake? I'm going to go down and I'm going to sleep in the hinder part, and you guys get me over to the other side. That's a lot of trust. And I look today is that, you know, a lot of times we look at our kingdom duties. Have you ever considered the amount of trust that the Lord has left us as His disciples, as His church? The kingdom duties. It's an awesome responsibility. frail people as we are, and yet He has left this kind of responsibility to us to carry out His kingdom work. He could have had angels doing it. He could have stayed here forever and done it Himself. But He left that work to us. And I look at these men, they were capable shipmen. They were capable in getting them from one side to the other. But it says, as He sailed, as He fell asleep, there came a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Again, these men knew how to handle boats, but they were in jeopardy. I have to believe that this was something that had come up all of a sudden, and this wind and water and the waves were starting to fill them, and it was all hands on deck. And what did they do? They came to Him and awoke Him, saying, "Master, Master, we perish." Then He arose and rebuked the wind and raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. Now, one of the things that we need to understand here is that, and I want you to think about this. The reason we're starting here is because when we go into the next part of our looking at the power of the demons, is that I want to reflect back on what happened here. And I want to give you some thoughts of maybe why this storm came up all of a sudden. Why this storm was as raging as it was. Why this storm was about to sink the ship. Why this storm had put them in perils. And I want you to keep that thought in your mind, because I want to reflect back on that in just a moment. But again, we look in Christ's humanity. And we look at Christ being here. Again, He had come here and He was the Son of Man, but we also know He was the Son of God. Many had rejected Him. They rejected Him as the Son of God. In fact, when you read through the end of the Gospels, you will find that because He is the Son of God, He was put on the cross of Calvary. He died in our place. And many people rejected the fact that He is the Son of Man. They rejected the fact they didn't want to embrace Him as the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. They did not want to accept Him as the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy that the Son of Man was coming and He was the Son of Man. They didn't want to accept the fact that He is the one that would sit on David's throne. They did not want to accept it because how could anything good come out of Nazareth? How could anything good come out of Galilee? And all the things that Jesus did while He was here. How many people do we read in Scripture? And you find that John wrote, if all the things that Jesus did were ever recorded, is that we wouldn't have enough ink to really be able to record everything that Jesus did. But what we have is enough to understand that Jesus is the Son of God. That He is not only the Son of Man, but He is the Son of God. He was, we looked at this as that just in the fact is that when He arose, even though that they were in peril, is that He had the power, He had the ability, because He is the Son of God, to stop the raging storm. If the Lord can create the wind, and He did. If the Lord can create the water, and He did. If the Lord can create everything that was necessary to build the boats, and He did. If He created everything that separated water from the dry land, we called it earth, if He could do all of that, then He could stop a storm. All He had to do was command it to stop. Again, showing His power, even His own disciples. Hey, you know, one of the things you wonder is that, did the disciples ever get done with being amazed? Did they ever get done? I mean, how many times, and they were always with Him. How many times did He tell a lame person, stand up and walk? How many times did He tell a palsy person that had an arm that couldn't be moved, stretch it out? How many times did they observe people had leprosy being healed? How many times did they observe people that were sick getting over it? I mean, even Peter's own mother-in-law, what did she do? Is that she was there in the house and He healed her. How many times did they see, you know, an individual going on a bier? It was basically a way to go to be buried. And then all of a sudden He just tucks it and it's healed. How many times did they see things that were such out of this world? In fact, bring the food. We're going to feed 10,000 people. What all we have is a little sack here, lunch of some bread and some fish. set them all down in 50s. And then what we're going to do is I'm going to pray. And what ended up happening is that now distribute all the bread and all the fish among the people. And then take up all the extra stuff. And they carried 12 different baskets of fragments that had been carried up. How many times did they see the hand of God? And yet, they were still amazed, because that's what they said. And when he said to them, he asked them, "Where is your faith?" And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, "What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." I truly believe in some way, shape, or form, they had not fully, even though that when Jesus asked them, "Who do they say that I am?" Some think you're Elijah, some think you're Moses or some other prophet. "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You see, is that what we find is that even, I think they still struggled. This man called Jesus, even though they were following him, is to bridge the fact that he truly is the Son of God. I believe that it's hard. And I will tell you, I don't throw them under the bus. You and I, at times, I believe we have a hard time believing that He is the Son of God until we've really come to see Him for who He truly is. You see, one of the things is, if you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, you will start to understand it, and hearing the Word of God preached and hearing and letting the Spirit of God speak to your heart, you'll recognize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Yes. You'll recognize that. But to truly understand who Jesus truly is, even though we understand at a level that He is the Son of God, He died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, He alone can save us, until you trust in Christ, you will never really start to understand who He truly is. It's one thing to understand He went to the cross of Calvary and died for our sins. And that's something you need to understand. Because the Scripture says we are all sinners in need of a Savior. We've all come short of the glory of God. We all need to understand it was because, as Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him," Jesus Christ and Him only, "shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." That's important for every individual to understand that simple message. And the Scripture says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Not with just the mouth, but it says, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." I trust in Jesus to save me. I ask Him to forgive me of being a sinner. I trust in Him to save me. I recognize He alone can save me, but He promised that anyone that ever trusts in Him for salvation, He will save. He will never turn anyone away. Amen? He will never turn away anyone. And I praise God, He didn't turn me away. If you're a child of God, He didn't turn you away either. The only ones that turn away is the ones that reject Jesus as Savior. He never turns away from us. But you see, once you have become a child of God, and then you start to walk with Him, and you study His Word, and you start to see how and understand that the Lord is still sitting on His throne. We're studying in the book of Revelation, and I love what we've studied thus far, that He is sitting on the throne, and we find that there's the 24 elders that are round about the throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, You're the only one that's worthy to be praised." That you and I have started to better identify with who He is, knowing that He sits on the throne, knowing that He is the one that we're held in His hand. In fact, John tells us this. He says, Jesus says, John wrote it down, is the fact is that we are held in the Father's hand. Jesus also said, "I and my Father are one." And think about that. I and my Father are one. We are held in His hands. And then we find also the Spirit of God seals us till the day of redemption. Seals us. So we have not only the Father and the Son, but we also have the Holy Spirit that has enshrouded us in His mercy, His grace, His righteousness, His love, and we are saved by His grace. Amen? That's who we are in Jesus Christ. That's what we have as being a child of God. And the more that we study about Christ, the more that we walk in His grace, the more that we walk in His power, the more that we walk in that relationship, then the more that, you know, and it still may be that we are amazed. I will tell you, there are things that I've seen God do in my life, my family's life, this church's life. And I will say, as I can still stand and say, how did He do it? I'm amazed. So that's why I said, just because they were writing with Him for 3.5 years, there were still things that came along that said, we are still amazed at what He can do. Still amazed. He is endless. Endless in what He can do. But you know, one of the things He challenged them in, let us not forget what it said in verse 25, where is your faith? Where's your faith? Where's it at? They were asking them, Master, we perish. Master, we perish. And how canst thou lie asleep? The song that we sing. How can you let us perish? We need your help. And I will tell you, the Lord is always there to help us in our storms, right? Sometimes He calms the storms, but sometimes He just brings us through the storm. But He gets us through the storm. He gets us through those times. But He says, where is your faith? Where is it? And I will tell you that at times we are challenged in our faith. Just the things of our society challenges us. Well, John mentioned in his devotional this morning, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against satanic things, demons, devils. We're fighting against them. And that's a true statement. And we're going to see that as the days get closer and closer to the time of the Lord. Things are going to happen. But the thing is that we still need to stay close to the Lord, understanding that the Lord is still with us. You know, the Lord tells us in His Word, He says, don't worry about those people that might kill you. Don't worry about those people. Worry about who can not only kill you, but send you to hell. That's the Lord. Now, as a child of God, we know that we're never going to go to hell. Amen? As a child of God, the worst hell that you and I will ever have is what's here on this earth. We will never experience hell. We will never experience a separation from the Lord. When we trust in Christ as our Savior, we have trusted in Him once and once for all. He said, I came and died once that all men might be saved. Christ can calm the storm, that whatever storms come in to confront us, and you think about some of the storms that come into our life on a day-by-day basis at times. Suffering. We've all had some type of suffering in our life. He can calm that storm. Bankruptcy. People had to deal with bankruptcy. Temptation. Loss. Hatred. Passion. Lust. Trouble. Trial. Anger. Grief. Persecution. These are all types of storms that can come into our lives as human beings. And we have all experienced one or more of these over our lifetimes. But bringing calm to the storms of life involves doing as the disciples did in coming to Christ. That's why I said I can't throw them under the bus, because they did exactly, they're in a storm, what should we do? They came to Jesus, the only one who could calm this storm. They acknowledged that one was perishing. They were perishing, potentially perishing. And so they came to the one. They believed that Jesus could save, and they cried out for Jesus to save them. Now, for a lost individual, an individual that's never trusted in Christ, that's what you need to understand. You need to understand that you are perishing. You need to understand that only by believing in Jesus can you be saved from your perishing. Jesus said this. He says, I came not into the world to condemn the world. I came into this world to save the world. Because why? The world was already condemned. Why was this world condemned? It was because of Adam and Eve. What they did in the Garden of Eden, God told them, do not eat of the tree the fruit of the tree of knowledge. I'll get my thought here out in a second. Don't eat of that tree. Because in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. You're going to surely die. And they ate of it. They died immediately, spiritually. And they started dying, physically. But you know, also one of the things that happened, I want to show you, just take you back to that thought in the garden. And we see the grace of God in the garden. The Lord said, drive them out, told the angel, drive them out of the garden. Drive them out. Why did He drive them out of the garden? They had already broken their relationship with the Lord. They had come from a state of innocency. Now they are condemned. And now they're being driven out. The reason they were driven out of that garden was this. In that garden was still a tree called the tree of life. Had they have eaten of that tree, of the tree of life, is that they would have stayed perpetually and forever in their condemned state. They were driven out in the grace of God, the mercy of God, so that His Son could come and die for the sins of all the world. And we are all descendants of Adam and Eve. We find here is that an individual that's never trusted in Christ needs to understand they're perishing, needs to understand that Jesus can save them, and then cry out for Jesus to save them. But if you know, the same is true today as a child of God. We all go through our storms and understand that Jesus can save us through our storms. He's the only one that we can call out to, because even in everything that's coming upon you is that we can feel like we're perishing because of the weight of the storm we're in. Jesus said this in Matthew 28:18, and He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, and we need to be reminded of that. He went on to say in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jeremiah, the prophet of the Old Testament, said this, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In your life, there may be times that you look at a storm that's come up and you're bailing water and you can't hardly get out from under it. Go to the one who can help you. His name is Jesus. The question that was raised by Jesus to His disciples, where is thy faith? Instead of us getting so timid and wringing our hands and thinking that all is lost, go to the one who can save us. Go to the one who can calm the storm. He, like I said, He will either take you through the storm and be there right with you, or He'll calm it. But He will never give you anything that you cannot handle. He will never give you anything that is too much weighty to where that you will be broken and not be able to get through it. So we see the faith of the disciples was used to show us the fact is that we need not to be afraid, that we need to be looking at this, and we, you know, this word wondered, as they were asking here in verse 25, this word wonder, it means that they marveled at His enormous power and sovereignty. I will tell you, the Lord has not changed who He is. He has the same power today as He had yesterday. In fact, Hebrews tells us He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. The one that spoke things into existence is that He is here to be with us irrespective of what storm we might have to deal with. The psalmist in Psalms 25:12 says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that he shall choose. Joshua tells us in Joshua 24:14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. You know, I'll tell you that sometimes our faith gets short on the Lord when we start serving other things. When we get embracing the world and we get the love of the world starts to take over us, I'll tell you, our ships are going to start sinking if we allow those things to happen. Let's move on into our text here in verse 26. It says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when He went forth to land, there met Him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, and neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before Him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven out of the devils into the wilderness. So we have here is that in this preceding text, there was the power to calm the storm, but also we find in nature, so if you want to call it the storm, you'll call it nature, He has control over it. But we're also seeing here is that He has the power over the demonic world. Now, one of the things that we know that these demons, these devils, they are fallen angels. We know that Satan is the head of the bunch. He is that fallen angel. In fact, Isaiah tells us there in Isaiah 14 and 12, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? So we find is that Lucifer, the archangel, that high angel, that most beautiful angel, he was cast down, he was cast out, meaning he lost his abode because of the fact he says, I am going to be like the Most High God. And then we know that from reading and studying in Revelation chapter 12, there at the middle of the middle of the week, middle of that 7-year period, it says that in verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. Now, that third part of the stars that's spoken of there, that is the third of the angels that followed after Lucifer. So they are following after him. These are the demons. These are the devils. These are the ones that can enter into people, into human beings, and into other objects as well, like swine, as we are looking at in this text. They are the spirits. They are Satan's emissaries. And I will tell you, Satan can only be at one place at one time. He is not God. So in order for him to keep tabs on you, this third of the angels, we don't know how many angels there were, but this third of the angels, they know you. These demons, these devils, they know you. They know more about you. They know what your weaknesses are. They know what my weaknesses are. They know how we are easily pulled away by our lust into temptation. They know that. They know they see what we think because of our actions. They start to understand that, and as a result, they do what? They pull us, tempt us in our lust and in our flesh. But they also know their eternal doom. They also know that their time is short. They will affect man's health. And in fact, one of the things to understand something, demon possession is not the same as mental illness. Demon possession is they move you to do things that are even against your own will. They can direct you. They can use your mouth to say things. They seduce men to false religion, and the scriptures are complete with everything I'm saying. You can find scriptures that supports what I'm saying. They seduce men to depart from the faith. They cast out, exorcism in the name of Jesus Christ. They are cast out, because Jesus here cast them out. They were exorcised out of this man. And they're going to participate in the apocalyptic judgment which is coming upon the earth that we are studying about in Revelation. These evil spirits are enemies of Christ and of men. They will delude the world. They have deluded the world. They're still deluding the world, and they're blinding people to Christ. I will tell you, if there was ever an attack on Christianity, I believe in our country, it's today. This COVID-19 has been used by some wicked people. And has been used to shut us down so that they are trying to separate us from our faith in God. First it was churches, you need to shut down. You need to shut down. And you need to understand something in that shutdown. It was that we don't want you going to church. Now you can go over here to the bar, but you can't go to church. You can go down here to the local grocery store, but you can't go to church. Because you see, those church people is where COVID-19 rests. And I will tell you, with everything that I've seen going on in some of these social platforms, you know, right now we're using Facebook Live. What's to say tomorrow they say we're cutting the cord on you? You're preaching the Word of God. You're preaching about things that's going out, streaming out, or YouTube. If they're doing it today, what's to say they're not going to shut us down as well? My point is that Satan is working today. And people are minions. Because they are not children of God, they are allowing Satan to deal with them. And I'll go as far as to say, as I believe that probably some of these people are possessed. by demonic people or individuals, these angels, these fallen angels. They attack society. They attack individuals. They influence people to commit the sins of demon worship, idolatry, sorcery, fornication, theft, murder, and much more. But what is our defense? The Lord. That's our defense. In fact, Ephesians 6 and 12 again says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And I will tell you that even though some people may not be possessed by demons, they are influenced by demons. They're influenced. And I will tell you, even children of God, if we're not careful, we can be influenced. Think about the man called Demas. Demas in the Scripture had walked with Paul. He had served with Paul. But it says that his love for the world drew him away from the service of God. So even saved individuals, we know that even the enticement of wealth can times, in fact, we find is that the Scripture says it's not the money that's the root of all evil, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil, and it has done what? Caused many people to err in the faith because they've been tempted, they've been drawn away. It's important for you to understand what your own weaknesses are. Because if you don't understand what they are, Satan is going to have a field day with those. It's important for us to identify them in our own lives. And Lord, say, this is something that is difficult for me to deal with, but I know that through your power and your strength, you can help me to overcome it. We look here also, think about this. These spirits, these demons. Now, they had arrived here in this country of Gadarenes. Now, when you read the other companion passage, you'll find that there were actually two men that came to Jesus. But we're going to focus on the one man. So it says that when he went forth to land, there met him of the city a certain man which had devils long times, wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And you think about this, is that this man, as far as society goes, this man was completely an outcast. I mean, think about where he was at. The man was not in his right mind. The man had unfettered strength. They would bind him up, he would break the bonds. And one of the things is he didn't wear clothes. He was screaming, yelling all night. There was no sense of stability of him. But also we find is that where did he live? He lived in a place that many would never think about living in. In one of those places that's kind of eerie, being in tombs. This man lived in the tombs. He lived in that area there. And so we find is that the full demonic being or things that were going on in this man's life. In fact, if you read any other companion scriptures, you'll find is that he was cutting himself, screaming all night long. It had to be something that just was out of one of those bad movies that you never want to see because of all the things that were going on with this man. Now, some can look at this and say, "Pastor, this is just a story. This didn't happen." I will tell you this. I believe the entire book called the Bible is true. And if my Lord says that this is what happened and it's recorded, I believe it's true. This was not a horror movie. This was a real man. This was a man that was possessed. This is a man that it says he had a legion. He had a legion. Now, if you look at the word legion, if you look at the Roman army as an example, they would usually have a legion would be 6,000 soldiers. That would be so we don't know how many this had, but we know that he had enough. We know, and what I mean by enough, it could have been 2,000. The reason I say 2,000 because how many swine were there? All right, there were 2,000. So there was at least 2,000, could be as many as 6,000 that inhabited this one individual. This one individual. And so as a result, if you look at the traits of these evil spirits, is that they're enemies of man. They are possessing a man for long periods of time. And we've heard of other occasions in other lands where it's definite that some people have this possession. They are possessed. And I will tell you this, and I will continue to tell you, and I will still preach this till I have no other breath to preach. If you are a child of God, you can never be possessed of a devil. If you're a child of God. But I will tell you, if you're not a child of God, you have an open sepulcher for them to move into. You have an open tomb in your heart that they can move into. Not just one, not just two, could be seven. It could also be a legion that can move into. You say, Pastor, you're trying to scare me. Amen to that. Amen to that. Because understanding the truth is that if you're not willing to give your life unto Jesus, the Scripture says you're already a child of the devil. And he will use you to his honor and his glory. And so we find here is that we find about these evil spirits. They caused men to lose their sense of shame and conscience. The man was running around with no clothes on. The man had no sense of his own self-awareness. Evil spirits can cause alienation, the loss of all your friends and your social life. Evil spirits often destroy a man by making him live as it were among the dead, among those who have no contact with the world of living men. And in fact, evil spirits are enraged against the Lord. In fact, they knew that Jesus here, they knew that He was the Son of the Most High God. They're enraged about that. They opposed Him, and yet though they feared Him, because they know that what their end is. Now I want you to think about this. Remember I said I started out here with this men in a boat going across the water. I want you to give you some thoughts here. Who brought the storm? Who brought the storm? Satan very well could have brought the storm. They could have been very much behind it. Now, you say, before you discount what I just said, I want you to think about this. Go back to the book of Job. In the days that Satan came before God, God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" "Oh yes, but Lord, you've got a what? You've got a hedge of protection about him. You let that hedge of protection down, and he will no longer serve you." "Okay, I'm going to let the hedge of protection down, but you cannot touch him." So we know that on one day, his servants kept coming in. "They've taken your camels, killed your servants. They've taken your sheep, they've killed your servants." But we also read in the book of Job that he had 10 children. And those children had gotten together. And they were eating at one house. And all of a sudden a strong wind comes and it broke the house down and they all died. Save one servant that got out to tell Job about what happened. Satan was able to bring that storm. And I look at this is that if we were to apply, I can't say this is what happened with 100% accuracy, but I want to just bring to your thoughts the possibility. One of the reasons why these legion did not want Jesus coming, two reasons. One is we're going to do everything we can to kill his disciples, because we know he sends them out two by two. We also want to take him out if we can. We want to stop him. We want to stop him because we do not want this gospel message coming to these people here of in the Gadarenes. We don't want this gospel coming. And here we don't know if he lived always with this legion always, or if they all many more got together and says, "We are going to stand against this man that is Jesus Christ." Just to show you the satanic world and how it fights against not only Jesus, but also against every one of Jesus' followers. I can see some credibility to that statement that they might have been the ones to help institute or bring up this strong wind to try to stop Jesus from ever getting there, to break their faith. And in fact, if they could do, and think about this, even if they can't destroy the disciples of Jesus, why not turn their faith away from Jesus? Why not turn their faith to where they say, "Well, if Jesus really loved us, He wouldn't let me go through this." How many times have you heard this? If God is really God of love, why would He let evil perpetuate itself through our world today? That's exactly from the satanic world that we are dealing with. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities. Though they themselves do fear God, though they themselves do fear their eternal doom. And in fact, as you go back to this, to our what we're reading here, is that he had said in verse 29. In fact, notice what they said. I want to skip over the first part of verse 28 for just a second. But notice how they used his voice, and a loud voice in verse 28, in the middle of the verse. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. And one of the things I look at that as part of this, is that I look at that, the fact is that either one or two things, I'm going to mention to you on both sides of this equation. Was this the man making this statement, or was it the legion making this statement? Now, I believe that probably it was the legion, because I'm going to tell you why I believe it was the legion making the statement here as we continue on. They knew that their time is short. Even if it's 1,000 years or 2,000 years, their time is short. They know it. They know their time is short. They know that when Jesus comes back to set up His throne here on this earth called the Millennial Kingdom, they know that they have 1,000 years and they're done. They know what the Scriptures say. They're very astute to what the Scriptures say. So they know that when Jesus comes back, they're done in 1,000 years. That's all they have left. Why are you here? Are you here to torment us? And they acknowledged that He is the Son of God. And look at verse 30. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion. They're using his voice, they're using his mouth to say who they are. Legion, because many devils were entered into him. Verse 31 is important. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Now this deep here, when you go back and you study in the Greek, this means the bottomless pit. This means the abyss. This means, and then perpetual, after that, perpetual being cast in the lake of fire that burns forever and ever and ever. That was prepared for the devil and the fallen angels and all those that will follow after them. They besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Now, why in the world would they want to go into these swine? What would compel them, these devils, to go into these swine? These swine do not have a soul. These swine, they're just beasts. You know, they get fed, they get raised, then they get what? Butchered and eaten. That's what they get used for. Why in the world would they want to go in there? Remember, everything about them is to keep people from coming to Christ. Everything about them, they want to turn people away from Christ. Anything that we can blame, you know, we have this COVID. Well, that's blaming on you, God. Why'd you allow it? We have this flu. You blame it on you, God. I have this loss of income. Blame it on you, God, because of why? Because you didn't let me to keep my job that I've been there for 30 years. I have this sickness. I've got cancer now. Lord, I've been serving you for how many years? Why did you let me get cancer? Or I get a heart condition? Why did you let me get this? Or I get a tumor? Or I get this or that? I lost a loved one. Why did you allow this to happen? God, this is on you. Always trying to get us to turn away from the Lord. Whether we are a lost individual or a saved individual, their whole reason is for that. Now again, why in the world would these devils, these demons, want to go into swine? It just seems to make no sense. When you read it first and just on the surface reading, there has to be a reason. There has to be a reason. Let's continue reading. So it says, besought him that we suffer them to enter into the swine. Verse 33. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done. And came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now think about what happened here. Their whole design, Satan's desire, is to drive you away from the Lord. And if he can drive you to a point to where that you fear God, in a sense that you won't come to Him, especially you won't come to Jesus for salvation, or whatever means it is, whether it's fear or whatever, is that instead of looking at the man and saying, only God could have healed this man, only God could have driven these demons out of this man, only the Lord, and this has to be the Son of God, this has to be sent from God, only He alone, because this man is sitting in His right mind, this man is clothed, this man is communing with them. Let's forget that, and let's look at the pigs. Let's look at, that was your livelihood. Let's look at all of that stuff that happened. And what did they do? It says, and they besought him to leave the country. They got exactly what they wanted. They got exactly what they wanted. The pigs are gone. Your livelihood is gone. You don't need God because God turned against you. Why would you turn to this man called Jesus? And there's a lot of people that have let circumstances stand in their way of trusting in Jesus. I pray that's not been you. I pray that that's not your situation, that you've turned away from Jesus because of a circumstance that came to your life that Satan was behind. Satan was, even again, their livelihood was gone. Now think about it as children of God. How many times have we got into maybe almost that perilous time that we have, that because of the fact is that we didn't feel that God took care of us in our time of need, that why should I stick with God? He didn't stick with me. You ever understand and think about this? That sometimes God allows us to get into a situation, brings us into a storm, allows us to get into a storm because He's got something better for us to do? Have you ever thought about that? Remember what the Lord says? In fact, what did James say? Praise God for all the times, all the different manifold times that we have temptations, trials, things of this nature. Because His wife always to strengthen us. It's always to strengthen our resolve in the Lord, knowing that He is still in command. That He is there. He's never left us. He's always walked with us. I don't care how bad things seem to get. But He is always there. And if we allow Satan to get a foothold into our lives, I will tell you, we will turn away from God. As children of God, we'll turn away from God. A lot of people have already turned away from God because of the fact, and I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to be very clear about this and succinct in my statement. We have to be very careful about being afraid of COVID-19. We have to be very careful. Now, I will tell you this, there have been people that have died. I'm not callously or casually or nonchalant saying this. We know that there are people who have died. But you see, I also know that people die of heart attacks every day. I also know that people die of the flu. They die of cancer. They die of... In fact, it was just stated the other day, a couple of days ago, people died in an aircraft disaster. Some 50 or 70-something souls passed. People die in car accidents. These things happen. But you see, if we get so bound up in becoming afraid of COVID, that, and we let Satan take over us to where we become so fearful, we'll walk away from the Lord. We'll walk away from Him. You see, it's a disease, a virus. I respect that. We do things that are smart to try to keep from getting it. But we cannot let it become our control factor. We cannot. Because Satan wants us there. Remember what I said earlier? He has started out trying to separate us when we most needed each other. He was doing everything in His power to separate us so that we couldn't draw strength from each other. Draw strength from the Lord together in an assembly. And he's still doing that to some today. So my point is that whatever the circumstance in life is, we have to remember that the Lord is trying to separate us. He was trying to separate the disciples from Jesus. How canst thou lie there sleeping while we perish? Why haven't you done... And then when he got up and did something, I've never seen that happen before. Right? And you see what we find here is that these devils got exactly what they wanted. These people said, will you leave us? Will you leave us? Will you walk away from us? And you know what? Jesus obliged them. Got back in the ship and went. You don't want to hear me? You don't want to hear what I have to say? You don't want to hear... Now, he did say to that man that got healed, the man that had the demons cast out of him, the man wanted to do what? The man wanted to say, I want to come with you. I want to be with you. He says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go back into your land. I want you to go back to your people. I want you to go back to your city and tell them what God has done for you. You know, that's one of the things that we often forget about. The Lord sometimes doesn't say, go over here, but He says, I want you to go back. I want you to tell people what God has done for you. Share with them what God... First of all, that He saved you. I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I was destined for hell until I trusted in Christ. But you know what? He saved me. He saved me for all of eternity. He says that I am your propitiation. I am your advocate. I am your intercessor. I am there that even though the accuser comes and says, how can you look upon this guy called Ron Howell and say that he's one of your children? Just look at him. But the father looks to the son and says, what about it, son? And he says, he's been washed in my blood. Amen. He's been washed. He's one of us. Our child. Forever and ever. You see, go back and tell. This man got saved. He got healed completely. And I told you I wanted to skip over verse 28 for just a minute at the beginning of it because I want to finish with verse 28. This man had been, we don't know how long this man had been in this state of having these demons. We don't know how long he had been in this state. But we do know, I'm sure, that he was feared. They had, because the Scripture says he had been bound at times in chains and they were able to bind him, but he broke it. He was running around naked. He was running around screaming, he was cutting himself, and all these things were going on. But I want you to look at verse 28 of what happened when Jesus came on the shore. When he saw Jesus, even though he was filled with these demons, I look at this as that it says that he cried out and fell down before him. He cried out. He made his way to Jesus. He mustered up all the strength that even though that he was in the condition he was in, he recognized that this man, Jesus. You know, I've looked at this from both perspectives. Is that when you look at this, you could say, well, the devils, they came and they knelt down. I believe this man mustered up the strength because when you go back and you read in Mark chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. I will tell you this, my friends, if you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, and even though that you are maybe demon-possessed, or you have some other affliction, you may have some weakness, is that you need to muster up all the strength you have in your body and come and fall down and worship Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of the world. He alone can save you, and He will save you for all of eternity. This man mustered all the strength to get to this man called Jesus, and he delivered him. And I will tell you, as children of God, remember I said earlier, we cannot be possessed, but we can be oppressed. We can be oppressed by the devils of Satan. They can stand around us, they can stand in front of us, they can bring atrocities, and I will tell you, if they can bring the house down on Job's family, I believe that they could have been involved in trying to stop the ships from coming to the Gadarenes. I believe they can bring a storm into your life.
Yeah.
Because God will allow it at times. They can bring a storm into your life. But for we as children of God, muster all the strength that you have within you and fall at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I know that You are my Redeemer. I know that You live. I know that You have the strength to overcome anything that's in my life. And I will tell you, you'll be drawn closer to Jesus. But you know, you're going to get up from that kneeling, and the Lord's going to say to you the same thing that He said to this man in verse 39, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And it says, and he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done for him. Where is your resolve in the Lord today? Are you letting Satan win? Are you letting the Lord win? The closer you get to the Lord, the more He wins. But the more that you allow yourself to be drawn away, the more that Satan gets a victory in your life. I don't know where you are this morning in your struggles, but the Lord does. And again, if you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, today needs to be the day of salvation. This man knew that Jesus was the Savior, and this man went and worshiped at the feet of Jesus. Maybe it's time we get back to kneeling at the feet of Jesus. Let us stand as our musicians come for a hymn of invitation this morning. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study, and we thank You so much, Lord, for what You've shown us in Your Word. You've challenged us to stay close to You, to fear not, but have faith in You. Lord, again we pray if there's one who's never trusted in Your Son Jesus, and they understand that they have that need, that today would be the day of salvation. Whatever the need of the hour is, Lord, I pray that we'll come before You and kneel. For it is in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.